This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning and welcome to the show. And it's Igor with Master Gardener Bob Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
Well, we had some more rain during the week a little bit.
surprise. Yeah.
Yard's a little soggy, but hey, we're no worse for the wear this time around.
Yeah.
Other than it washed my grass seed completely away.
Oh, jeez.
I got to reseed. I was trying to do what you told me a couple weeks ago, put it down. I thought we were done with all the heavy rains.
Yeah.
Put it down and it monsooned again. But hey.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
We're sometimes. Doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're on Facebook Live, I should mention.
Okay.
Facebook.com/WESB1075. You did bring in a couple things to show.
Yep.
And we'll talk about those in a little bit, but take it away.
Okay. Since I know a lot of people are having this trouble, and a lady friend of mine really brought it to my attention a few days ago. Her tomato plants, they're well watered, but they're still drooping like they need water. And as a matter of fact, they do need water. But the problem is the ground and pots and soil has been wet for so long that it builds kind of an invisible layer over the top. It's a bacterial and fungal layer. They have a certain term for it, but you know how hard it is for me to
pronounce
say some words.
18-syllable scientific words. Yeah.
So it does build that invisible layer, which blocks the evaporation out of the soil. So plants get wet and they stay wet, even though they look like they need water. The fact is they need air. That's the problem. They can't transport water up through their roots and through their stem without a little air with it. That's how their system works. So one thing I like to do this time of year, besides especially your tomato plants, but probably some people are seeing it in their geraniums and other plants where you're getting a lot of brown leaves and a fungal-like mass growing on the leaves or the stems of the old flowers, is we got to prune them. We got to prune some of the leaves off so that we can see through very easily and so air can get through. And that's going to help stop that fungal growth a bit. But one other thing we should be doing, and you might have to help me describe this. This is called a garden claw. And what it is,
it's like a crooked fork. I'd call it crooked fork.
Okay, that's a good description.
It's a fork. Angled diggers. There's three spikes on it.
Yeah. That will scratch the surface of the soil and break that invisible layer that's on top of the soil. That'll break it. And so you get some evaporation out of the soil and some air more importantly, get some of those gases that are building up in our soil, get them out, and those plants will perk up. Now, another thing I suggested, I think last week too, was hydrogen peroxide. That is liquid oxygen. I use that. A lot of people use it. It can't harm any plant or any insect. So
you have to scratch the surface first?
Well, it helps. It helps, yeah.
But you could just dump the peroxide in.
Yeah, the peroxide mixed with water right in, water it right in, which I've been doing to my plants once a week maybe. But also I'm scratching the surface to loosen that top layer so the gases can get out of there and the air can get down in there and then the plant can start drawing up water again. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, your tomato plant, if it's drooping or any other plant. It's not going to happen overnight. It may, but chances are it won't.
What, a couple days maybe?
Yeah, a couple days.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, if we get hard rains again, well, then you may have to do it again. Sometimes you have to do it, you know, maybe once a week. Just go out there and quickly scratch the surface, you know, a half inch, inch deep. That's all. Be careful you don't get too close to the main stem of the plant, especially a tomato plant. They don't like their roots being disturbed once they're growing. So stay a few inches away from that main stem and just scratch, loosen that soil on the top. And that will break that invisible fungal and bacterial layer.
All right. Good advice. By the way, we should mention our phone lines are open. So 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. If you have a question for Bob, we'll answer it live on the air.
Okay, good. Another thing, you know, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a guy call in about the winter apples.
Right.
And he wanted to reproduce them. So I'm going to give a little demonstration, but I'll also describe what I'm doing because maybe I didn't make it real clear.
Well, he was wondering if he could just plant the seeds and then it would grow from just nothing. But you're saying, that, well, all apple trees, pretty much you have a slim chance to do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a 1 in 80,000 chance.
1 in 80,000.
Yeah. The tests have been done by agriculturists and scientists. Yeah, that because they have so many genes, just like us. I do not look like exactly like my mother and father. Nobody looks exactly like their mother and father because we have so many mixed genes in us that the chances of that ever happening are almost nil. So the best way to get, if you've got a winter apple and you want to
clone it.
Clone it, yeah. This is exactly how you do it. It's called cuttings. You're going to take a cutting of that apple tree, and you'll kind of look for. This is not an apple tree, by the way. This is a hydrangea.
But it's good to demonstrate on. Because...
Yeah. So you're going to take a cutting, maybe 6 inches long, and the important part is where the leaves come out of the main stem. That's called a node. A node. That's where roots are going to be most likely to develop. So you want to cut just below that node or where the leaves exit the stem.
So you had the main stem that's coming out from the pot that you brought in.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty much the bottom, I don't know, off.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the bottom. I could have taken one from the top too.
But any of the nodes coming off that main stem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so the next step, after I've cut it, I'm going to strip off just about all the leaves to this plant. I'm only going to leave like two leaves left. Two, maybe. Oops. Well, I just broke that one.
So you ruined it.
We're going to do another one. Yeah. Cut just below the node or where the leaves come out. And so I'm stripping those old leaves off. Now I'm going to cut them off because I don't want to break the stem again. And even if those top leaves are a little big, I can cut them even in the tips off of them. So I don't have a whole lot of leaf surface because the more leaf surface I have, the more water that plant will take. Now, it doesn't have roots yet, so it can't absorb a lot of water. So I'm getting rid of most of the leaves. Now, the next step is I'm going to use some rooting hormone. And this is called, the rooting hormone is indole-3-butyric acid.
Now, you have a jar or something like that you got from a store,
yeah,
looks like.
Yeah, yeah, and it's called take root or rooting hormone in it.
And this particular brand is called Garden Safe. Garden Safe Take Root. So they sell this.
Yeah, at hardware stores.
Anywhere, okay.
Nurseries, greenhouses. Yeah.
Okay.
And so then I will dip the stem in there. Some of that rooting hormone will stick to that.
Especially, what's it look like in there?
It looks like white powder.
Oh, okay.
It looks just like flour. So I'll stick the stem in there, and then I'm going to set it aside, wait a few minutes. The next step is I'm going to fill. This is how I like to do it. There's other ways too. Take a clear plastic bottle, clear plastic or glass, and fill it full of water. And then I can put the stem in there. I like the bottles of water because it's going to hold that stem upright.
On this side so we can see on camera. Yeah, there we go.
And now it'll start to float a little bit, so it'll end up here like this. And now I'm going to set that in a shady area with plenty of light, but still shaded from direct sun. And now I can watch it week after week when I start to see roots developing on that cut part, that node. Then I can remove it and pot it into some soil.
How many inches of water should be in that bottle?
I'll fill it right up.
Oh, all the way up. Okay.
Fill it right up because otherwise it can evaporate and you'll lose track and all of a sudden it'll dry out. Then that cutting is wasted. So fill it right up.
Okay.
And check once in a while to make sure it's still full. Now, if you can't find the rooting hormone, you can use English ivy. And again, you'll take that English ivy, chop it up into little pieces, throw it in that bottle. If you can't find English ivy, then use willow. Both of those plants have a lot of that indol butic acid in it, or it's auxin, another term. It's a hormone that initiates roots. Plants have hormones in them just like we do. And so you can chop up that willow into small pieces, throw it in the bottle. That acts as, again, that rooting thing there that helps it root. And then, again, put that in an area where it's not direct sun, but still light. And it may take a month. It may take only a few weeks, but roots will develop on it. Then you can pot it up and grow it on for a year or two in your area. Sink the pot and all into the ground so that it'll be well protected from freezes and so on. And then in a year or two, you'll be able to plant it out somewhere, and you'll be able to have that apple tree that maybe no one else has.
Very cool.
So I wanted to explain that.
Now, I'm curious, were we lied to in school about Johnny Appleseed?
No.
You say seed, a.k.a. grow an apple tree from seed.
You can grow an apple tree from seed, but you don't know what apple it will be.
Okay, so the clippings guarantee which apple you're going to
get. Yes, yeah. And back then, during Johnny Appleseed's time, the mid-1800s, it was a request by the government that, you can have this 40 acres of land. The government would let you have it. But you had to show us that you were going to stay there and not just harvest all the lumber and move on and harvest more lumber and move on. So they said you had to plant an apple orchard there. And they knew that when you start an apple tree from a seed, it's going to take 10 years before you're going to produce the first apple. So it's guaranteeing the government that you're going to be there for 10 years, and once you're there for 10 years, you'll probably stay there forever. So that was part of his deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very good. Cool to know.
But again, an apple's heterogytosophy, the term.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. That's the one I couldn't say last week. That's the term of... You have so many mixed genes that the chances of passing the same genes that you have to your prodigy is real, real slim.
Right.
So that's how you do a cutting. I hope that guy was listening, or anybody else that wants to grow another plant from the plant they have, like this particular one. This is kind of a special one. This came as a cutting. A few years ago, it was just that little tiny thing from a cutting that I did from the oldest hydrangeas in Bradford.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And by doing that, I'm keeping the same genes that this had. You know, you can go to the nursery and buy a hydrangea, but it won't be exactly like this hydrangea. And I just kind of find that fascinating and fun to do.
Yeah, very neat. All right.
But you can also, because I'm going to be doing some, I have a few spirea at home too. That's a shrub, flowering shrub, small flowering shrub. And every year they get what we call a sprout. It's where the genes in one particular stem, maybe more than one, have changed due to harsh conditions or some kind of disturbance in the plant. So the genes have kind of mutated. And these particular spireas have variegated foliage. They're not just green leaves. They're half green, half white. Mm. And it's hard to find that one on the market. So I'm going to do some cuttings. Spireas are real easy to root and very quick to root. A hydrangea is going to take a good month. The spireas may only take a couple weeks and they'll root. And they'll grow very fast from that cutting too. So you can get new plants that way. Many of the new plants that have come on the market have come from this kind of system of cloning. This is how you clone a plant.
All right, great. So we're going to take a short break before we move on to our next topic. Worth W. Smith, a great sponsor of ours, and we'll be right back with more of The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM.
Is your lawn looking a little brown and ragged? They have what you need at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. You'll find many options in the line of garden hoses, sprinkler heads, and fertilizers to turn that lawn back to the lush green carpet that we all love. But why stop there when you see the variety of decorative stone pavers, mulch, railroad ties, and landscape timbers? Let their staff at Worth W. Smith help you turn your backyard into the oasis you're looking for. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradley.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Phone lines are open, 814-368-9372, if you have a question for the Master Gardener, Bob Harris.
Okay, I brought a few, two perennials in today.
They're almost the same color. They both have green leaves.
Yeah.
They're a little different, but they have a, I don't know, pink, purple, pinkle.
Okay, that's a good one, yeah.
Kind of color to them.
I like that.
What do we have?
The first one is, this is called Echinacea or coneflower. That's one of the real popular plants in our area. This particular one happens to be pinkle.
Yes.
But they come in a lot of other colors too, whites, yellows, and oranges, and so on. Great flower, attracts a lot of beneficial insects, the bees being number one. Starts flowering about this time of year, multiplies on its own. So sometimes all you got to do is buy one plant, and within a few years, you'll have several plants. If you leave some of the dead flower heads up there, once all the flower petals fall off and it's all done, leave some of those so those seeds up there can drop to the ground, they'll become new plants, and in a couple years, they'll start blooming. But it also can spread by underground roots, so it'll go both ways.
Now, is it better to leave them on so the seeds will fall, or can you just deadhead them and put the tops of the
Yeah, timing's going to be important, though.
Right on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got to leave those seeds up there on that flower stalk all the way till they mature, which is going to be late fall.
Oh.
If you clipped it off now and laid it on the ground, those seeds would quit growing or maturing, and they would be, they're not viable, we call it, no good anymore. So you wait till the end of the season, those last few flowers, leave a few on there, and the birds are going to love you for that too, because they like the seeds from that Echinacea or coneflower. So they'll feed on that too. And as they're feeding, they're going to drop some, and those will become new plants, hopefully. Mm-hmm. If you don't make the mistake by early spring of thinking they're weeds and you pull them out.
Oof. Yeah.
So you got to get to know what they look like too as a brand new plant, because just about all brand new plants kind of look alike. So it's hard to tell sometimes. So that's Echinacea or coneflower, a real good perennial, real popular. And sun lover. The more sun, the better.
Okay.
This one here is called Astilbe or Astilbe, some people call it. Very versatile plant. Will grow in the shade or will grow in the sun. And as you can see, they start blooming right now. Real feathery, they're plumes, really, that are hundreds and hundreds of flowers on each little flower stalk. And that attracts a lot of the very tiny, tiny pollinators. We could call them beneficial bees. The ones that can't sting you because they're so small that they can't penetrate our skin. But they do attack other insects like caterpillars and aphids and so on. So they can help our garden stay clean by having some of these flowers that are real, real tiny that only those tiny bees can pollinate. So it attracts them and helps take care of your bug problem. But this one, again, grow in the sun or the shade, and it doesn't grow from seed very easily, but it will multiply from its roots. So within a few years, that potted plant you got will increase double, triple, and so on. So it gets bigger and bigger. And then, again, you can dig and divide it, plant it in another place or give it away or sell it. So you'll make many more of those. Good perennial for Bradford.
Great. Yeah. This one was called again?
Astilbe.
Astilbe.
Astilbe or Astilbe. Okay. You can call it either one.
Wonderful.
It may have another common name. Oh, this one doesn't have.
Yeah, they all seem to have a lot of different nicknames.
They do.
Like they have a scientific name, and then you have like two or three different common names sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, which brings me to the fact, you know, and I didn't talk about it when I brought hosta in, you know, talking about plant names. A lot of them have so many names. I can remember my grandma planting hostas, but she called them Funkia.
Funkia.
And that was a common name for that plant back then. Then scientists decided that wasn't a good idea. So they thought it maybe in the plantain lily family. So then it was called plantain lily for many, many years. And then finally, in my time, the scientists really dug into it and found out that it's its own family group.
Oh.
And so they had to make up a name. And, of course, they used the name of the plant finder that first brought it to America from China. So it got the name of hosta because that was kind of similar to that.
How you pronounce the person's name.
Yeah, I forget his full name.
Made the discovery or whatever.
Yeah, okay, made the discovery and brought the first one to America in Salem, Massachusetts. So that's the first imported perennial in America, the hosta, and now is one of the most common perennials in America. And it's a good plant. Boy, I could go on and on about the hosta.
Oh, channel. I know. It's a great one. But you do have some more notes, so I didn't want you to get sidetracked too much because you have more to talk about.
No, I've covered these, but I can talk about other things too.
Because we have about 5 minutes left
in
the show.
Oh, okay. I want to remind people again, because of this weather that we've had, you know, that some of your plants are going to look droopy and not necessarily because they've dried out. Matter of fact, I don't know of any plant not undercover,
right,
that hasn't been soaked for a long, long time. So scratch that surface to help that evaporation out. Maybe use some hydrogen peroxide. That's going to be, an ounce or two per gallon. Or you can even spray it on the leaves. And that's just a small amount in a spray bottle mixed with water. That'll help any pollen and all that wash it off, so the leaf can breathe a little easier. And so it can start to draw up the water it needs. Or just start pruning and some of the leaves off, because most plants produce more leaves than they really need. And that with all that foliage or leaves, some of those leaves will stay wet for a very long period of time, and fungus will land on there, start to grow, and start to harm or even destroy the whole plant. So don't be afraid, especially those geraniums, and some of those other annuals. Don't be afraid to cut off some of the leaves. Don't always pinch them off. If you got a good thumbnail, go ahead. Use scissors or a pruner.
The cleaner cut, the better.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And so you can get good air circulation so it can dry out and prevent that fungus from growing.
Great. Now, I had a question about the wetness and the rain constant. So I did mention earlier I was trying to plant some new grass. I'm trying to patch up some bare spots in the yard, right?
Right.
What's the best way to have those seeds take, and how long should it take for them to kind of start to germinate, I guess?
First thing is you really want to scratch the surface of the soil. So you make it a little bit loose. Then you can put the seed down. Then, and just by a rake, then scratch it again so all the seeds get dirty. And then if you can, roll it so that presses the seed into the soil, and that way it can't wash away so easily or blow away in the wind or the birds eat it up.
See, that's what I was wondering about. Because I used my foot to kind of like just tap it in a little bit, maybe.
That'll work too. Yeah.
But I didn't, because my dad always said, don't walk on the grass seed. You're going to kill it.
Oh.
When I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
So
not before it germinates. Once it germinates, is a quarter inch tall or so on. Yeah, you don't want to walk on it because then you can harm it.
Got it.
But rough up the soil. If you can't rough it up, maybe spread a little layer of fresh soil out there. Distribute the seed, then rake it in so the seed tumbles around and gets all dirty. It's real important that it gets dirty, because the soil is what holds the water, and the seed needs the water to germinate.
Now, could you just put loose new soil on top of it?
You can do that too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to.
Just sprinkle it on.
Yeah, so sprinkle it on.
Under a little tiny bit of dirt.
Then try to press it in.
Press it in.
Okay. So it is in intimate contact with the soil.
Okay.
Because the soil is where the water is. You can wet the seed, but it'll dry out within minutes. The soil can stay wet for a long period of time. Then, if at all possible, spread some straw or hay. I recommend straw. Or even some burlap over, or an old tarp over. Of course, you're going to have to keep track of it. And that sounds severe, but believe me, it works very, very well. You're creating a greenhouse in there. The warmth stays in there. The moisture stays in there. So you don't have to go out and water your seed every day or twice a day. Put that cover over, and that holds the moisture in there, which gets to the seed. The seed will germinate. Within a few weeks, start lifting up that tarp or burlap, whatever you got covering it, to see if the seeds have germinated. And once that grass gets like an inch to 2 inches tall, then you can remove that cover. And you'll have a nice grass lawn there then. Yeah.
A nice fresh batch of grass. All right. Well, that's what I needed to know. And with that, we're out of time.
Okay.
So we'll do it again next time.
You bet.
Okay. The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. We'll be back next week with Master Gardener Bob Harris right here on B107.5 FM. Have a great weekend.